Today is the day set aside in our Christian calendar as Trinity Sunday. Last week was Pentecost. It is a Sunday where we engage in an intentional way what does it mean to give expression to one of the unique doctrines within the Christian church. But more than that, it's not a static principle to be picked over and philosophized and even theologized about, although there's space for that and a time and place for that. I often find it interesting because it seems to be, for many people, a real challenging stumbling block to believe in the Trinity, the three in one. We somehow can't get our heads around mystery and paradox living in uniplural ways. And I find it interesting that folks who do that say it's an impediment to those of other faiths and so forth, and yet will readily accept and receive the depictions and articulations of God in other philosophies and so forth, and find this one in the Christian faith so difficult. The Trinity is an attempt indeed to put words and a description almost like poetry on a reality that can't be contained or defined. Even our best theology and our best ways of doctrinally saying Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or however you want to designate the three persons of the Trinity, does not even do justice. But this I contend, and this I believe with all of my heart. It is a unique contribution. The Christian understanding of God, the traditional Christian understanding of God, is a unique contribution to that multivaried nature and mystery that is God. And that contribution has largely to do with getting at the essence of who God is. That God, in essence, when we say God is love, that means that God is relational, connected to. You cannot be love and be by yourself. One can only be love if one is in relationship with. For love is interactive. It is not static. It's a way in which we try to give expression to not only the relationality of God, but the desire of God to come in various ways to us. One God, three ways. It is a dance of mystery. Trying to describe God is like a poem, like a metaphor beyond our words, like a gasp, like a breath, like a musical reality that we have not even been able to pen yet. So I invite you to enter into that ministry and that mystery. I'm going to share, and Julie is agreed to help me with this. Last year, two United Church ministers, one professor at the Atlanta School of Theology, another minister in Vancouver, were editing a book on the Trinity and our understanding of the Trinity, and asked me specifically if I would write a chapter for that book on how we understand God as Trinity in relationship to the justice issues in our world, the fact that those relationships are fractured. And if God is love and seeking relationship, our relationship with each other, with creation, also must be just and good and loving and merciful. And I struggled with it, and what came out was not a chapter like an article that I would normally write, but what came forth was an extended theological poem. And I'd like to read that for you today as an offering of a perspective on the three in one whom we call God. Behold, this community of one whom we worship and serve seems always to be on the lookout to spawn celebration. Holy banqueter, cosmic party animal, any excuse for a God time. Could it be that this is just who this three-in-one-ity is? Relationally, mysteriously, joyfully, intimate, enduringly and interdependently postured in a love communion that explodes in song and delight, in creation and celebration, just because it cannot be contained. You see, it's never been about just us. It reminds me of a divine grandmother, apron at the ready, loving and gentle, though firmly and unmistakably in charge, table prepared and accessible, with room for everyone, and then even more room and more room. bread and food and fruit and drink and simply appearing on platters of hospitality garnished with agape and other fancy-sounding triune seasonings. From ancient, eternal, tried and true recipes featuring the not-so-secret ingredients of love and joy and abundance and justice and friendship and compassion and mercy and, well, you get the point. Can you hear her shouting? Inviting, summoning, come on, everybody, come on, creation all, come to the banqueting table. There's more than enough for all. Generosity commingled with succulent abundance, dripping off her words and gestures, her provisions. But wait, wait. Deep sadness abounds, for the triune hostess aches and cries because so many will not or cannot come. Some say, I have my own money, bread, food, and drink. I don't need yours.
Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? For your labor, that for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live.
And because so many of those who are coming don't want others to be there, they say, we are the preferred ones, and we know that those kind of people aren't welcomed by God.
After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb of God, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb.
And because some would like to come, but they are encumbered with self-loathing and wounding and feelings of unworthiness, they say, we are not fit to attend your banquet. We are unworthy and filled with nothing good, only shame.
Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
And because so many who want to come are prevented from coming by systems of oppression and marginalization and injustice, they try to speak, but the domination system silences them. Ah, but wait. Behold, the triune hostess hears them. There is food for the soul and justice for this world to be served. The table is laden with abundance.
I have heard their cry. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them. Is this not the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice? To undo the thongs of the yoke? To let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin. He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Speak out for those who cannot speak, for the rights of all the destitute. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
Furious at all impediments to celebration, at all that seeks to circumscribe abundant life, at all party poopers trying to spoil divine party making, this triune community of one thunders, I am who I am. I will be who I will be. I am creator. I am provider. I am grace giver. I am the manna, that bread from heaven. I insist on love. I insist on mercy. I insist on justice. I am the bread of life. I am judge and I am savior. The bounty of the earth is intended for all people, bar none. This triune community of love spawning justice, this divine hostess, is not to be messed with. Who do we think we are? Constructing political and economic systems that privilege a few while consigning billions in our human family to poverty, sickness, and oppressive injustice, and at best only willing to share the scraps of Earth's bounty. The unadulterated gall of structural adjustment programs, predatory subprime loans, collusional monopolies by transnational corporations, and economic terrorism. Yes, terrorism, which intentionally targets and undermines local markets and industrial capacity in the countries of the global south, just to open up the markets and control for first world enterprising. Straight up, gotta be honest, gotta tell it like it is. We brood of vipers. The United States has 5% of Earth's population and uses 40% of Earth's resources. Canada, Australia, the US, Japan, and Europe use 65% of the world's electricity. 2 billion of Earth's precious humans live on US $2 a day. 1.3 billion of Earth's precious humans struggle to survive on less than one US dollar a day. Oh, save us from this madness, God with skin on. Oh, discomfort us and our evil complicity, God with strong breath. Oh, judge us according to your law, God with creative love galore. The holy mystery, Abba, Christ, Ruach, all together as one, moans and writhes and convulses, and then it comes out.
Ah, you who make iniquitous decrees, who write oppressive statutes to turn away the needy from justice and to rob the poor of my people of their right, that widows may be your spoil and that you may make the orphans your prey. What will you do on the day of punishment? To whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your wealth?
Are we still unsure or confused about who this Trinity is, or what this divine community of one in love really wants? The mysterious divine economy who is God is beyond our imagination. Uni plural web of relational love and abundance and grace and justice and mercy and laughter and party making, feasting, forgiving, judging, accompanying creativity, suffering, hope, peace creating, health, beauty, bread, and infinitely more and more. The very identity and purpose of this triune hostess, this grandmother with apron at the ready, is all about bread, chapati, naan, lavash, pretzel, puri, dinkelbrot, tortilla, appam, cornbread, puran puli, hard dough, challah, baguette, ciabatta, papadum, sweetbread, fulka. This is the God who taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. This is the God who dropped manna from heaven. This is the God who uttered, this is my body, take, eat. This is the God who, as creator, Christ, and comforter, is our constant companion, which literally means, from Latin, with bread. The identity of this God and the way this God is postured in love towards the universe is all about bread presence, bread justice, bread joy, bread grace, bread life. There is no God without bread. The symbol of life and justice and abundance, the banquet, the celebration, the peace, the spiritual sustenance and faith, hope and community and relationship. God is relational soul food for all the world, served up amply and equitably, banquet style, on platters of nonviolent economic justice and succulent contagious love. Can you hear? Can you hear the divine grandmother hostess summoning all with a deep belly laugh? Come to the table. There is room for everyone. There is enough for everyone. What's keeping you? All is ready. Let the feast begin. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost makes judgment on those who hoard the most and chooses to suffer whatever the cost to save and heal all those who are lost. Amen. One take on this mystery that is the Trinity. The prophet Isaiah says on behalf of God, I was always ready to receive those who had not sought me. This relational God desperately, earnestly desires relationship with you and with me. Relationship that will issue in a faith and a spiritual peace and joy that we could never imagine. But it will also issue in a life of ethics and commitment, of forgiveness and mercy and justice making that will bless all the world. Draw near to this mystery. Let this mystery, who is God, infuse you and me. And watch, just watch what will happen. Thanks be to God.